Well, we're glad you're here. We have been in this awesome series, No Fear November, all month long. And we are closing that series out this weekend. And I get the privilege to close the series out. Well, as we close the series out this weekend, we are going to be talking about the fear of Christmas. The fear of Christmas, you know, all the Black Friday shopping that you did and all the presents you couldn't find and all the money that you already spent and all the presents that you still got to buy and can't find and all of those worries about joining together with the family on those days when things are a little stressed. We're not really going to talk about the fear of Christmas. Is there really fear in Christmas? What we're going to talk about today is the fear of worry, the fear of worry. Here's what I want you guys to do for me quickly this morning. Can you help me out? Here's what I need you to do. If you would, pull out your smartphone, and on your smartphone, you're going to go to a website for me. It is called Kahoot.it. It's up on the screen right there, Kahoot.it. And when you log in, what you're going to do is going to help us take a survey this morning. And in that survey, we're going to find out a couple of things about where we're at and what's going on. So you guys get your smartphones out, log in to Kahoot.it, and you can help me answer this question. A little survey this morning we want you to take. Once you get to the website, you log in by putting the PIN number in. And once you get the PIN number in, you are there. It'll ask for you to put in your name. So get logged in. Several of you guys are logging in already. I'm trying to get there. All right. And I'm in as well. And everybody else is logging in. That is awesome. Thank you guys for helping me out today. And so once we get logged in, you guys are continuing to log in. If you want to, we can go ahead and go start. And you can continue to log in as we do this. So no worries. If you've not logged in, you still have time to log in. The PIN number should be up there at the bottom of the screen. You can see that. So you can still put that in. Okay, what was your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? Choose one of those things. Was it food? Was it napping? Shopping and movies? Or the in-laws? You get to choose one of those, and once you answer, then it'll come up. What was your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? I know it was a couple of days ago, but, you know, we're past that. Just kind of get an idea of where you guys are with Thanksgiving and everything. I still got people answering. As soon as we get through answering, we'll go to the next screen, and we'll be able to find out what your favorite thing was about Thanksgiving. Okay, you guys still doing? That's awesome. I appreciate you guys helping me out this morning. Thank you. All right, looks like about everybody's answered. Let's go to the next screen. What was your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? No surprises there, right? Thanksgiving is about the food. Hey, I'm proud. 15 of you guys just love your in-laws, right? That's awesome. Unless you were kind of being a smart Alex or something this morning. But anyway, 53%. How many of you guys have been eating turkey for 4 days now, huh? Yeah, you have. How many of you still got turkey in the refrigerator? You're going to be eating on, right, for a few more days. That's okay. You know, a couple of days from now, you probably wouldn't have guessed the food was the favorite thing. Let's go to the second question. The second question is, we talk about the fear of worry. What's your biggest fear? What's your biggest fear? Here's our options. Health. Maybe you have health worries or issues. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's YOLO. YOLO is you only live once, and that's a real thing. The millennial generations, they want their lives to count for something. So maybe if you're thinking, hey, I want my life to count for something. And then, of course, monsters under your bed. Maybe some of you guys have real fears about that. I think there were about 10 people last night that had fears of monsters under their bed. So you guys pick one of those. And once you pick, we'll get everybody in. We'll see what one of your biggest worries are, because we're talking about the fear of worry. And we won't have to worry about that here in a little bit. Okay, let's go to the answers. And it is money. Hey, six of you guys are like me. I have fears for monsters under my bed, but the rest of you guys, most of you chose money, and several of you health. All right. Well, Jesus, as we talk about worries today, as you saw there was one that was above the others. And the one that was above the others was money. Money. Money is an issue. Here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the fear of worry. And one of our biggest worries, as pointed out here in our little survey, is money. Now, before you check out or before you worry about what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about worries, and a little bit of that's going to be focused on money. But as we focus on money, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money. I'm not going to tell you how to give your money. I'm not going to tell you your money should be given here. I'm not going to do any of those things today. What I want to do with us today is for us to get a correct perspective of what money is, a correct perspective of what money, where money should be in our life, and how it's simply put this way. We are not owners of what we have. We are just managers. And what we're going to look at today is a parable of Jesus. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus shares a parable of a rich farmer. A parable is a moral allegory. It's a fictional story with a spiritual meaning. Parables are always told in historical context. So when Jesus is giving this story, this parable here in Luke chapter 12, what he's doing is he's putting it in historical context. So what he's doing, he's pulling a real life story from first century Middle East, and he's trying to help us understand that there are, in this actual story, parable, he's actually sharing with us that there are some spiritual meaning in this, some allegory in this, a moral allegory. So let's read this parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. And we begin in verse 16. If you would, just follow along with me as we read this parable of Jesus. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now, take it easy. Eat and drink and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but," there's a but there, "but not have a rich relationship with God." What I want you to do right now is look at that verse there in your outline, and in your outline, circle all of those first person pronouns. That means you want to circle I, me, my, I'll. All of those things where he was talking about himself, circle those real quick. And what you're going to find that this man had some things going on interpersonally with himself. Here's what I see from this passage as it relates to this individual that Jesus was talking about. First of all, he was very self-absorbed. What shall I do? What shall I do? He was very, very much self-absorbed. If you can picture in your mind's eye for a moment a sponge. A sponge is a very absorbent thing. If you place a sponge in a bucket, it's going to absorb every ounce of water it can. And that's what this man was doing. He was placed in the world, and the world around him, what he was doing was absorbing everything around him. Everything in close proximity, his wealth, his land, he was absorbing everything there. And so this man was very self-absorbed. What shall I do? Not only was this man self-absorbed, but he was self-centered. I will say to myself is what he said. You know, it's interesting, this guy, as we look at him, he was not only kind of relishing and enjoying the wealth that he had, but he was having an inner dialogue with himself. He was talking to himself. It didn't seem that he had anybody he could talk to about his wealth or what to do about his wealth, or maybe he didn't want to reach out to anybody else because maybe they would have given him different advice than what he was taking for himself. This individual was very self-centered. He was concerned about himself. He was concerned about his possessions and his money and his wealth. And in the process, everything was being absorbed into his self. So this man was self-absorbed. He was self-centered. He was also very self-reliant. He didn't need anyone or anything else. But in this passage, Jesus says something very, very interesting that is worthy of making note of. And here's what Jesus said. There was a rich man. He had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. Now notice in that passage, Jesus didn't say, this man was very smart and he created all the crops himself. What Jesus said was, this man had a farm that was very wealthy, and it produced the crops. This man didn't get. He was relying on himself. He thought everything that happened with his bumper crops that year was due to himself. He thought he was the reason that he had huge barns full and he was going to build bigger barns. Very self-reliant. A lot of times when it comes to our worries, and I know some of you have financial worries. Some of you have other worries. Some of you have relational worries. Some of you have worries about health. Some of you have worries that are even things that we don't even always think of that may be even a little obscure, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. And when we talk about worries, what happens in those worries are these things that was happening here. It relates to his possessions. It relates to his money. But it also relates to a lot of other things that are going on or could be going on in our life. We become self-absorbed. We become self-centered. We become self-reliant. All of those things, all they do is escalate our worries. They cause them to go off the chart. They cause them to, for us to stress out. And this man was doing that. Now, he hadn't got to the place where he was worrying and stressing and all of those things, but guess what? Jesus addresses those worries, whether this man was worrying or stressing out about it or not. Because if you look in that same passage, Luke chapter 12, and you go down just a verse to verse number 23, Jesus is continuing this passage. And I want to read that to you now. It's Luke 12, 23 through 26. And this is what Jesus talks about after he gave us the parable of the rich farmer. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens, Jesus said. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for they feed themselves. And you are far more valuable to him than any bird. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Jesus knew that eventually this individual was going to begin to worry about everything. Can you imagine the stress of having too much crop to fit into your barns? Now, it seemed like it was a good thing. He was going to build bigger barns and set back and not worry about it. But then you got all the construction and the construction cost. And then you got having to transfer all the food and being able to store the food while he's tearing down his barns and building bigger barns. He's going to have a lot of stresses just to maintain and move forward with what was going on in his life. And that happens with us. What we know about worry is this. There's some things I want to share about worry. The word worry itself comes from the Anglo-Saxon word, which means to strangle. Worry itself means to strangle. When we worry, what happens in our life is it strangles us. It strangles our emotions. It strangles us physically. It strangles us in every aspect of our life if we're not careful. If we allow those worries to raise up within us, they begin to strangle us out. And that's what Jesus was talking about in this passage of Luke. Now, what does worry do? Here's what worry does for us. Worry is destructive. Worry is very destructive. Whatever you're worrying about, whether it's money, finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's health, whatever it may be, worry is destructive in our life. Jesus asked the question in this Luke 12 passage, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can worry do anything positive for us? It really can't. It can only be destructive in our life. You know, worry can cause panic attacks, stress, missed opportunities. Worry can even eventually lead us to health issues, which cause us to go to the hospital, which could even, if we're not careful, cause death. Now, that may seem extreme, but it's true because worry is destructive. Not only is worry destructive, but worry is a distraction. It's a distraction. Jesus said, look at the ravens. They don't feed themselves. They don't worry about anything. We have a couple of squirrels in our backyard. I don't know squirrel relationships, so I don't know if they're brother and sister or they're brothers or they're husband and wife. I just don't know how squirrels operate. But I do know this. Those squirrels in our backyard will run and chase each other up trees and through fences and across the top of our house and everything else. They're having a grand old time just living their life. And here's what I noticed about these squirrels. They've been in the yard all year long. In the summertime, they were lean and mean, fun machines. But somewhere along between summer and mid-end November, those dudes become very chubby. I mean, these dudes are almost twice the body weight of what they were this summer. And you know what those guys have done? They've enjoyed themselves. They went and found some food. They're kind of getting in that hibernation mode of getting themselves nice and full and putting back whatever they put back, acorns, nuts. I don't know what they put back. And they stored it all up, getting ready for the winter. They weren't worrying about winter. They were living their life because God instinctively put within them to take care and to live their life. And sometimes I think we miss that because our worries become a distraction in our life. Instead of enjoying life, running around and having a good time, what we end up doing is stressing and worrying and working and all of those things that take away from the way God intended for us to be. It takes away from our relationship with God. It takes away from our relationship with others. Worry is definitely a distraction. It distracts us from trusting God. Worry is not only destructive, it's not only a distraction, but it's a distortion. Worry is a distortion. Worry causes us to focus on superficial things. It distracts us from that relationship with God. It distracts us from the things we really should be thinking about and really the things we should be working through. And so if we're not careful, we can allow worry to settle in and it can do some damage to our lives. So here's what I want to do this morning with you. I want to help us overcome those worries in our life. I want to help us overcome those worries in our life. How do we overcome those worries? It's really pretty simple according as we look into God's word. Number one, be Christ-absorbed. Be Christ-absorbed. Instead of being self-absorbed, we should be Christ-absorbed. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. And so we should be Christ-absorbed, just like that sponge I was talking about a while ago. I did a little bit of research on sponges, and here's what I come to find out. There are basically two types of sponges. There's the natural sponge that God created that are in the oceans, and then there's the synthetic sponge that is man-made. And I decided I was going to do a little bit of research on these sponges because I feel like being Christ-absorbed is so important. So I thought, what's absorbent sponges? And so I Googled, which is easy, hey, which sponge is most absorbent, the synthetic or the natural? And I really didn't know what the answer was going to be. I thought maybe, you know, man, with all his creation, he could have made something that was awesome and be able to be super absorbent. But when it came down to it, because there are man-made materials in that synthetic sponge, it's absorbent, but it's not nearly as absorbent as the natural sponge. So if you put two sponges side by side and both put them in a bucket of water, the natural sponge would absorb more and hold more than the synthetic man-made sponge. Now I got thinking about that, and I thought, you know, that is so awesome as we look at that, because we are to be either naturally self-absorbent or to be Christ-absorbed. The one that we strive after sometimes is that self-absorbent, that we just kind of live in our own little world, our own little life, and if we're not careful, we begin absorbing those things around us, and they become filtering in our life, and it's not possibly not the thing that we should be absorbed by. It's not easy to be Christ-absorbed because everything that we do and everything that we are should be that Christ around us and in us and through us. And so as we look at what we should do, how we should be and how we overcome worry in our lives is to be Christ-absorbed, that natural sponge that absorbs all the things that Christ has for us. And if we would allow that to happen in our life, to be Christ-absorbed by church, by our personal time with God and all of those other things that we have, and not allowing those worries, because when we're self-absorbed, those worries creep in and they begin to take over. But when we're Christ-absorbed, we're like those squirrels running around where we are just enjoying life and letting Christ work in us and through us. Christ-absorbed is a way to overcome worry in our life. The second thing is to be Christ-centered, to be Christ-centered. 1 Timothy 6:18, Paul continues to talk about to Timothy, about his possessions, about things that worry him. He says, tell them to use their money to do good. We are to be Christ-centered. Christ should be at the center of everything that we do. It should be at the center of all the decisions that we make. It should be a natural inclination that when we come to a place, a fork in the road, we're always looking at what God would want us to do. This man was not Christ-centered. He was self-centered. He didn't ask for advice. He didn't look to God for what to do when he had a situation of too much crop. But what he decided to do was to decide himself what to do. He was self-centered. What does it mean to be Christ-centered? It means that we put everything that we do, every decision that we make, in Christ. Recently, Hope and I were looking for a sectional, and I found out and learned that Kittles was doing this clearance sale. I don't work for Kittles, neither do I have any stock in Kittles, and so I'm not asking you to go to Kittles, but I'm saying I went to Kittles. So I went to Kittles, we began looking, and I began this process. I'm unlike most people. I'm weird, I'm odd, it's okay. I've kind of accepted this part, this place in life. But I go in and I look, and I'm not going to buy the first time I go in. So we go in, we go looking for a sectional, and we go to another Kittles, we go in, and we begin this dance about 4 or 6 weeks long where we go in, we come out. A couple times a week we'll go in and look. Here's what Chris is waiting for. Chris is waiting for the 50% off sale to go to 60%, and then he comes later and he's waiting for the 60% off to go to 70%, and then add another 10% on top of that. That's what I'm waiting for. Now, I understand that that doesn't always work out too good because we went in, we found this section we liked after a few weeks. We'd always walk in, the little sales girl go, hey guys, how you doing? And she knew us by sight when we walked in to the store because we just kept going in and out of the store. And finally, we found this sectional that we wanted. We went in and said, okay, this is it. We're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to buy it. We didn't tell the sales girl that or anything. We just decided we're going to come back. We come back the next day, midday, and guess what? You guessed it. It's gone. It's not there. We thought it was the perfect sectional and the one that we wanted. We had shopped and shopped and shopped, and this is the one we want. And we come in, and we see that it was sold. And, you know, the first thing is, okay, there's a little bit of disappointment. But, you know, Chris is okay with that because Chris is still waiting for some more percentages to go off. We'll find one. So we began the process all over, going to the stores, looking. Finally, a few weeks later, we found this one, and we bought it. And this one's really awesome. The other one probably wouldn't have been best because it was huge, and it would have taken up every part of our family room. But this one was the right size. It fit better, and it has this awesome feature that I am, like, loving every day. I sat down in it, and there's this little button on the side, and you push it, and your feet do this automatically. I mean, it is awesome that you just push a button, and your feet go up, and you push the button, and it goes back down. I mean, that is really, like, some cool stuff. I suggest each and every one of you should go out and buy one of those today. I mean, that's how awesome it is. But here's what I'm trying to get at. You're saying, what does that sexual have to do with anything this morning, Chris? Here's what it has to do with. It has to do with being Christ-centered. I could have very easily chose the first one, but it wasn't the right one. That guy in the parable could have very easily tear down his barns and build bigger ones, but that may not have been the right decision. When we talk about what God wants from us in our life, he wants simplicity and generosity. What he wants from us, when we make decisions, those are Christ-centered decisions. And when we went in, we were looking at a certain amount that we had to spend. And what we looked at, because it had the power or everything on it, it was above our price. And what I said was this to this guy. I said, hey, here's how much money I got. I'll give you this for this and that table. We were looking at a dining room table as well. And he said, oh, I can't do that. I said, well, just see. He said, well, I can ask my manager, but there's no way. Okay, he comes back in 5 minutes and says, I don't know who you are or what you did, but our manager said you can have it for the price you said. I said, okay, cool. I said, we need free shipping too. And the manager said, okay. And the manager, the prices were so low but what they were on the thing, the manager had to actually check us out. And I asked the manager, I said, hey, can you tell me why you lowered the price? He said, I can't tell you that. So for whatever reason, he did that. And what I think and what I look at is when Christ is centered in our life, when we put Christ at the center of who we are and what's going on, he will always take care and provide. It may not always look like what we thought. I'd have rather had the first sectional, but God had something better. And if we live a Christ-centered life, sometimes we get the better thing. It may not be in the moment that we want it, but it'll be what God wants us to have in that particular place. Hey, you know, as we talk about finances, we are having this awesome class that helps us have the right perspective of money. And if you're working through that, maybe you're struggling through budgeting and working through money or trying to get out of debt or any of those things, we here at VCC are offering a class mid-January that you can sign up for today. There's people in the village, Melissa and Steve, are going to facilitate the class. If you have any question about that class, it's Financial Peace University. You can go by the village this morning and talk to them, and they will help you answer questions about that class. It's an awesome class. You can get signed up for it today for free. Unless you want to buy materials and take them with you, you can do that. So make sure you check that out on the way out today. So how do we overcome worries in our life? By being Christ-absorbed, by being Christ-centered, and then thirdly, by being Christ-reliant, by relying on Him in everything. 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19 says this, "They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so they may experience true life." What Paul was saying to Timothy was, hey, focus everything you have on God. Be reliant on God. When you're reliant on God, God will take care of all the other things, because what you're doing is storing up that foundation. You're putting back this treasure that is not just for this life, but a treasure for the next life. The fear of worry. We're talking about worries. We're talking about all the worries and what they do in our life and how we can overcome worry. And the way that we can overcome worry is by being Christ-absorbed. That natural sponge that is picking up everything about God. And it's in our life, and we are saturated with Christ. It's about being Christ-centered, about focusing, putting everything in the center of our life, and it be God-centered, and then Christ-reliant. You know, I struggle with lots of things in my life. Some of you guys who have been on this journey with me here at the Vineyard from the first time I spoke, a little over 3 years ago, to where I'm at today, you guys know some of the things and the issues and the struggles that I have had. And I can acknowledge, and I think that's a part of what we should be, is transparent with others so that we can help each other through life. And as we're transparent, I have a lot of struggles in my life, a lot of things that I've got to deal with, and sometimes those are daily things that I work through. Hurts from my past, pains that are difficult, and even sometimes moving forward in life, it's tough sometimes. But there's something that I know that I've learned that I've kind of taken with me, and I give God all the credit for this because it's not anything that I've done, but God has helped me to understand that I can trust Him. God has helped me to know that I can trust Him, that whatever I'm at, wherever I'm at in life, whatever I'm going through, that I can fully trust Him, whatever it may be, I can fully lean into God and know that He's got my back. I can fully push into Christ in difficult moments, and I know that He will be there for me no matter what may be going on. And here's what I know. God's the same God for you as He is for me. So wherever you are, whatever the worries that you're working through, the difficulties that you're struggling with, wherever you are in life, whatever things you have absorbed by that natural sponge, whatever things you have absorbed, you can wring those things out today. You can totally wash them away, and you can grab that natural sponge, and you can allow it to be Christ-centric. Everything about Christ, everything absorbed by Christ. So wherever you are, and I know, because I've experienced it, that it doesn't always, everything's not always fixed overnight. I was told this by a counselor several years ago. Healing takes time. It takes time. It takes time to heal. And what I want for us today is I want us to be able to trust Jesus. Trust Him. To fully press into Him, whatever situation and circumstance you're in today, I want us to be able to press in to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful today for the love that you've extended to us. Thank you for loving us when we didn't feel lovable. Thank you for forgiving us when we didn't feel forgivable. Thank you that no matter where we're at, we can trust you. We can lean in on you, and you're there. And help us today, whatever our worries may be, help us to relinquish them to you. Help us to give them over to you. Help us to surrender those worries to you today, God. What is your worry this morning? What's your biggest worry? Here's what I want you to do. I want you just to say it to God. If you want to say it out loud, say it out loud. If it's money, it's money. If it's relationship, relationship. If you want to say it internally, you can say it internally, but release it to God now. What is your worry? Let go of it. Let go of it. Give it to God. Let him have it. Now trust. Trust that he's taken it. Trust that he has it. And trust that he will heal you from it. Father, may your healing hand be upon these today that are here to meet you. May they press into you and feel your presence. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're still struggling a little bit with letting go or relinquish some of those worries, in just a few moments, the prayer team's going to be up front. You can come forward and they will pray with you, help you pray through whatever those worries are. Hey, we are excited about next weekend. Next weekend is our kickoff to our Christmas season, countdown to Christmas. We have some really awesome things planned next weekend as we begin our new Christmas series. So make sure you're here next weekend. Make sure you bring somebody with you. Also, if you didn't quite complete filling out your serving sheet for Christmas, you can take it with you. Our guest service is out in the hallway, and you can give it to one of them. Thank you for being here this morning. Have a great day.